Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Gary Arnold, who's going to be running for the Republican nomination for Congress here in the region where I live. But the general ideas should be of interest to people all across the country. I've known Gary for 40 years, and he's certainly a good patriot who's given his life to trying to save our country. And now, of course, he's going to be running for Congress in an effort to to educate people, and perhaps if he can get the Republican nomination, then to run for the position running against the Democrat will be running. But, Gary, what motivates you to run at this time?
Well, just the rapid descent of the country. This is really the final call. This is the Paul Revere ride. If there ever was a time, this is the time. And we can't put up. There's no way for the people to be stupid and to be free. They have to be informed. And the people that are informed have to get off their couch. They have to get involved in the community. If only moving to the chair before their computer, they can participate in city council meetings, they can participate in county supervisor meetings, information can go directly to the city clerk or the county clerk, it will go into the record. There's no reason for them not to participate at this juncture.
Well, of course, the most important thing is not communicating with your elected representatives, but to become one of those elected representatives, because, you know, lots of times it doesn't matter what the people say. The people in office have their own views, and unfortunately, especially in this area, why there's a small clique that has been able to keep their people in positions of power for many years. It's time we had people who represented the American point of view rather than that of the hardcore Marxist. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And you're totally correct. What they're saying is irrelevant. The whole the category, as Shakespeare said, the whole world's a stage, and if there was ever a stage with characters that belong to the Screen Extras Guild, it's the candidates that are fielded to us on the left and right. They come in curtain left and curtain right, and most of these, the most dangerous ones, happen to be members of the Guild, which are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral, and the Bilderbergers. In the state of California, for instance, one of the toughest-talking conservatives out there is a man by Steve Poizner. Steve Poizner was selected. Anybody can go to Wikipedia, and if they look up his name, it's spelled P-O-I-Z-N-E-R. You'll find out that he was selected by George Pratt Schult to be a lifetime member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And for those that aren't familiar with George Schult, he was head of the Council on Foreign Relations many years. His middle name is Pratt, which is one of the Standard Oil families, very powerful, and the very headquarters that the Council on Foreign Relations resides in is referred to as the Pratt House. Most people don't understand that it's people like George Shultz and Henry Kissinger that keep an eye across the country and select candidates whom we eventually end up backing because what we hear them say. We don't check on their bona fides.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment with Gary Arnold here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking to Kerry Arnold, who's going to be running for Congress. Of course, the trouble is that we don't really have a choice. We've got a choice between Poizner and Meg Whitman. And I think they're both extremely liberal. I think they're both probably would be a disaster as governor of the state of California. And really, of course, one of the two is then going to face off against Jerry Brown, who, of course, is an old hardline Democrat, but is really a brilliant man, a very good administrator. If I ever saw a choice of being shot or being hung, I'd never seen such a bad set of candidates running on the Republican ticket for the governorship of the state of California. I share your concern, but, Gary, but the important thing is not the other people in the race. It's what do you stand for? Why should people vote for you?
Well, I encourage them. I'll let them, if they can, while they're listening, if they can go to my website. It's the richest website in content for any congressional candidate across the country, and it's called arnoldistheanswer.com. That's Gary Richard Arnold, not Arnold Schwarzenegger. But it's arnoldistheanswer.com. And if they go to that site, it's just amazing what I've been able to put on there because of the technology of today. I've got famous speeches on there that all I have to do is click a link and they'll get the speeches from Ron Paul. They'll get the John F. Kennedy speech about secret societies, which probably contributed to his death together with his issuing American notes versus Federal Reserve. There's the authorizing of tyranny by Ron Paul on there. I've got the A Time for Choosing when Ronald Reagan was on point when he gave that speech for Barry Goldwater. I've got Nigel Farage's challenging the Eastern European dictatorship and Daniel Hannan's, the conservative member of the European Parliament, talking about the European Union being a racket. Now, that's just on one, that's just one page on my website. I've got another one where people can download free historical books, including Dr. Anthony Sutton's America's Secret Establishment.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Go right ahead. We've got about 30 seconds more. Go ahead.
Okay. Dr. Anthony Sutton was the first person to get the secret papers of the Skull and Bones, and he put it into a book that's called America's Secret Establishment. And that will make anybody a sophisticate and a strategist for looking out after our future if they digest the importance of that book.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Gary Arnold, who's running for Congress in our local district here. And I was simply asking people why they should vote. I asked Gary why people should vote for him, and he was telling us about all the things on his website. But, Gary, what do you stand for? Where are you coming from? What can you do? What are the major problems facing the people in this congressional district, and what positions would you take on the really important issues as far as the individual here? I mean, certainly these things are fascinating. I know you've accumulated a great deal of information over the last 40 years that I've known you. But what is going to really be important to the people who are going to be voting in the primary is, what do you stand for?
Well, the things that are valuable for a congressman, we've seen how some people have used the couple of minutes, the three or four minutes that one's allowed in the at the end of the congressional day. The special orders in which people can address the nation. We saw this used by Bob Dornan many times, and also the gentleman from back in Pennsylvania that just got out of out of prison. But
you're talking about John Traficant.
Yes, John Traficant. And they've used that platform very effectively. Also, everybody is affected by the economy, the depression by design, and they need to know and to protect themselves. But they need to know why it's happening. If they're only looking at an issue, if they only escape one coming down of the hammer, like in the cartoons where the mouse is running around, that might get them by for the moment. But for the long term, they really need to know that there is an architecture above that's driving these forces. These are not isolated incidents.
I know, but Gary, what positions do you take, and what are the important issues to the people, and where do you stand on them?
Well, for instance, on the Depression, of course, the auditing of the Federal Reserve, which would I've already got a my conclusion is to abolish it.
I know, but the thing is, the average person isn't interested in the Federal Reserve. He's interested in the issues that face him every day. Now, certainly you're absolutely right. The Federal Reserve is part of the problem, but what are the major issues as far as the people are concerned, and how do you stand on them?
Well, another one would be the borders, the jobs around here that are occupied by the mass numbers of illegals, which contribute to the crime, which contribute to the taxes. To take a position, as did the governor of Arizona, and to reverse the process so that anybody that is picked up is sent back to Mexico.
All right, so you favor us imposing and enforcing the immigration laws, and I think this is an important issue for a lot of people today because you're absolutely right. Illegal immigration is bringing a lot of people into this country. It's taking away jobs. It's driving down certainly the salaries, but more than that, it's bringing with it crime and drugs. So I agree with you. I think we should enforce the immigration laws. We certainly should build the fence, but the biggest thing is that local police should be allowed to identify or try to identify the people who are here illegally and send them back. In fact, I was thinking recently, if I was in Arizona and I see the people in San Francisco and saying that we're going to boycott Arizona, and people at Sacramento are calling about California boycotting Arizona, my thought was, well, if I was in Arizona and in charge there, I'd buy every one of the illegal immigrants that we picked up a one-way bus ticket to California and told them to go up to San Francisco and stay there, and they'd never want to see him again in Arizona. I wonder how long it would be before San Francisco would stop calling for a boycott of Arizona.
Right. Well, also, I'd had a movement within the Congress, certainly eventually, to cut federal payments, the unconstitutional ones, but certainly immediately to those sanctuary cities to end federal aid to them because they are acting outside the law.
All right, fine. That's certainly a very valid point. So you'd basically enforce the laws, you'd cut off payments to sanctuary cities. Is there anything else that you would want to do if you were elected to Congress? What are the major issues that affect the people in our congressional district?
Well, again, we've got cities that have contracts with the Front for the World Bank called ICLEI. That affects each and every minor little law and regulation that's going into the cities and into the counties that affect people's daily lives. It affects what they can build, how they travel, how much they consume, what kind of bags they can throw away, what kind of trash they can use, what kind of food they can eat. All these minor little laws are brought in, again, by cities and counties acting in an arena where they have no constitutional authority. Contracts with foreign governments or foreign entities should not be allowed to stand. Congress would work with other congressmen demanding that the United States Attorney General break those contracts and that these people be prosecuted under the full force of the law because they're acting outside of their authority.
All right, so basically then when you'd use your position in Congress to demand that action be taken against the communities that have violated the Constitution by signing contracts with foreign entities. This is one of the things you think is would be really important to the average individual?
Absolutely. In fact, it was years ago when George Bush Sr. Was a representative to the United Nations, or ambassador to the United Nations, and he supported what was called the Mundelization of cities, where I think a city in Richmond, Ohio, gave its allegiance to the United Nations and even gave a percent of their income and flew the United Nations flag. And this is something that George Bush is senior, as a member of Skull and Bones, promoted. These are the sources of some of the what exist as sanctuary cities and the breaking down of the true federal system, which we were protected with this compartmentalization of power in the past that protected us. Right now it's being destroyed in every way possible through regional agencies such as in our local area, it's AMBAG, the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments. Again, they're acting outside of their authority, and they have also contracts with ICLEI, for instance, and they're outside of their authority.
Well, but Gary, I think that the average person is concerned about jobs. I think that a lot of people are losing their jobs. Don't you think that the things that really affect people today, they're concerned about the war? They're concerned about the government, the federal government, being too large and doing too much. I mean, they're concerned, certainly, that we have too much federal regulation over every aspect of our lives. I think these are the issues. I think the average individual doesn't want the federal government involved in education. I think the average individual doesn't want the federal government involved with health care. I think these are the issues that really affect the average individual, don't you?
Well, I've got a nephew that's in Afghanistan right now. I think one of the most urgent things is we've got members of our sons and daughters across the United States that had joined, for instance, like the National Guard that's supposed to be here to protect our borders and for natural emergencies and for if things get out of control. These undeclared wars are outrageous. The war talk and needs to be reversed immediately, and these people need to be brought back home. And if Congress doesn't have the guts to declare war, our sons and daughters are over there for ever-changing reasons. There's no one reason stands for any length of time because they seem to be defeated because they're not good enough reasons. And I think that bringing them back should certainly be very high on the priorities because they're losing their guts because the Congress doesn't have the guts to demand either there be a declaration of war or our sons and daughters be returned.
Well, no, certainly there are an awful lot of Republican congressmen who support the war, who think that we have to be over there fighting terrorism in Afghanistan and trying to build a better society in Iraq. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, totally oppose it.
All right, fine. So basically then you would take a position in opposition to the Republican Party based upon your beliefs and your principles.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and so basically I think it's so important to stress when you're running for political office that you are not going to represent the party bosses. You're not going to take instructions from above. You're going to do what you think is right for America, and you want to pull American forces out of the Middle East, and we should have done it a long time ago. Now, how do you feel about expanding the war with Iran, which obviously is the next thing planned by the people working behind the scenes?
Well, we have a very dangerous situation now where we have private armies working side by side in conjunction with our other sons and daughters. There's a two-tiered pay system, and there's a lot of goings on that is secret, provoking a war with Iran. I think the neocons that were identified with Ron Paul's speech, 6 or 7 years ago, was right on target. And if you analyze the Project for a New American Century, for instance, people will find that the majority of those individuals, again, came from what I refer to as the Screen Actors Guild. They're mostly members of the Council on Foreign Relations, serving a purpose of building a world government and not looking out for our nation at all. In fact, their purpose, since their founding and incorporation in 1921, was to do away. The whole reason they were founded was because the League of Nations wasn't accepted by the United States Senate. So they've been propagandizing ever since that time in order to install a world regional government.
And I think that people have to understand there are a number of groups that have no loyalty to America. They're subversive. They want to do away with our sovereignty and establish a one world government. I think Gary's point is well taken. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Well, Gary, you know, I think a lot of people are very concerned about the government, the taxation. I think they're very, very concerned because we are running massive deficits that eventually are going, of course, to affect the ability of our country to actually be able to borrow money in the world markets. There's a very real question that perhaps we will default on our debts. There is no incident in all history where a nation has certainly been has established an empire, which we have, where that empire has survived. And many people are very concerned. We're going to spend ourselves into oblivion with wars, with giving away money. And certainly, if we were taxing people for all the money we're spending, why, there'd be a tremendous outcry. So what they're doing is simply borrowing money to finance all these grandiose globalist plans. Where do you come down on this, and what should be done?
Well, again, I disagree with you that it's our empire. What they're building is a structure in which they intend to leave the shell, and the shell will be the United States, will be left mostly like a Jurassic Park. They've been deindustrializing the United States for years, and they've been purposely helping the multinationals to move their plants overseas. I would advocate a 5 to 10% across the board, no special privilege tariff immediately to help give some basis for capital and small businesses to, again, have a reason to be industrious or to invest. The way it is now, people are rewarded to leave the United States, and the cheap labor is the borders are open to bring in the cheap labor. It is the policies are hell-bent on the destruction of the United States.
But, of course, the leaders of the Republican Party support globalism because they tell us that globalism is going to raise our living standards and raise the living standards throughout the world. How can you oppose that?
Well, again, I think NAFTA was supposed to, I forgot how many pounds all those laws weighed, but NAFTA, which is supposed to be free trade, is anything but. All it does is build in special privileges. Henry Kissinger himself said it was the biggest step towards world government that the United States had done. And, of course, it was supported by such people as Newt Gingrich, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Again, you'll find if you can get the scorecard, it's like trying to learn football or baseball. If you just walk in there, you don't have a program. Nobody tells you how it works. You're going to be confused by all the stuff that's going on out there. But if you get the list and you see their program, you can follow this thing. It's not that difficult, and you can ferret out which are the evil people, and you know which ones are lying to you, and which ones are likely to support you. Fortunately, we've got two people running. One for United States State Senator here in California. Chuck DuVore, who's a constitutionalist, and the recently Arnold Schwarzenegger pointed to a lieutenant governor, a man by the name of Abel Maldonado, who is the Alan Spector of California. He doesn't not only not belong in the Republican Party, he doesn't belong in the Democratic Party. He should belong in the Socialist Party. This person is just the exact antithesis of a Republican. Yet only 7 Republicans voted against his appointment about 10 days ago in the state of California, which is a disgrace.
You're talking about Abel Maldonado as lieutenant governor. Okay, we'll be back here in just a moment with Gary Arnold. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Gary Arnold. Of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to have a question for Gary, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Chris, I think that the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems we have, is we're spending money we don't have. There's no better way than to destroy a nation than, of course, to do it economically. You have to have a sound economic base to maintain a sound currency, and there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debase its currency, and that's exactly what they are doing today. The Fed is creating money. The Treasury is creating money. The banks are creating money out of absolutely nothing. We have no idea how much money there is out there. The European banks are creating dollars. The Japanese Japanese banks are creating dollars. Everybody in the world is creating dollars, and we are responsible for them, and nobody is pointing out what's going on. Let's go to Ray, who has a question. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, indeed. I want to address the question of this talk about green jobs in California. Now, Time magazine ran an article about California not recently about green jobs proliferating in the state, and I just think it's bunk. And I think the whole green jobs thing is bunk. I spent 20 years in the electronics business back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I worked as an electronic technician for years. And I think they deliberately and malevolently destroyed manufacturing in this country.
All right, fine. Now, do you have a question at all for our guest?
Yeah, I think I got a question out of there. I think the green jobs, I think they cost two or three real ones.
Yeah.
Fine. So basically that, Gary, what are your thoughts about the green jobs? Are green jobs going to solve the problem here in California?
No. I think they cost two or three regular jobs, and yes. Basically it's what people are doing is just using caulking and masking tape and duct tape. It's nothing substantial. It's nothing that's really going to help people in the long run, both either for the job or for the benefit that they claim to be bestowing.
Well, I think that people really have to look at what the real figures are and the benefits of globalization. Here in the United States, the government will admit to a 9.7% U2 unemployment rate. That is, of course, the superficial unemployment rate where people are getting unemployment insurance. The real unemployment rate is the U6 unemployment rate, which is the people who are receiving unemployment benefits. The people who are unemployed or underemployed, in other words, they have two or three jobs or working for much lower salaries, and then those who have simply given up looking for work and are no longer receiving unemployment benefits, that figure is 17%. If you look then at the, or take the birth-death ratio out, which is, of course, the means by which they fudge the unemployment rate, the real unemployment rate in the United States is about 22%. And since we have 130 million jobs, that means we probably have close to about 25 million people unemployed here in the United States. Then if you look at California, we at current time have a 12.7% unemployment rate. It's probably closer to 25% here in Santa Cruz, where it's 15%. In San Benito, it's 19%, according to their statistics, and they fudge their statistics. So actually, you're absolutely right, Ray. All of this talk about green jobs and creating new jobs to replace the ones they're sending overseas is simply a lie. They intend to destroy our economy, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Anything else you wanted to say?
One more thing, Gary. I was in the electronics business for a long time, and I saw everything that was going on, and especially at Hewlett Packard, where I worked for years. And I'm of the belief that the CEOs and the CFOs of these companies sold this country down the river.
But that was the agenda. That was the whole purpose.
But how are they hooked up? Are they hooked up with the government in some way?
Absolutely. They're part of the structure. Gary, explain it to him. Explain to globalism about what's going on.
Sure. In fact, David Packard was one of the founding members with Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller of the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, his daughter has been running the foundation here in California and is behind all of the region, much of the regionalization in the state, including another front of Rockefeller's called California Forward. In every place and everywhere, they're doing the green frenzy or the ecological environmental frenzy. Anything that's put before a state senator or a city council person, they stamp yes. Mm-hmm. They've got their little nonprofit in the audience, and they've got their pressure from the California League of Cities.
And PG&E is, and the PG&E, of course, came before Congress, and they said, oh, the smart meters are working just fine. And meanwhile, there's thousands of people that are being overbilled.
Well, but you have to understand that the whole idea is to run up the cost of electricity to lower your living standards. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Gary, would you like to comment at all on what Sydney Ray's point was, that the PG&E is installing these wonderful new meters and it's raising dramatically the cost of electricity?
Well, I know the PG&E, whenever they need the their coalitions that are put together with the Sierra Club and the regular cast, they're participants in it. And again, the smart meters is a way to be able to control and turn off and control your intake as much as it is a so-called convenience. People are they're being given life support that can be turned off. Like Nurse Ratchet can walk by, and right. if she doesn't like you, all they have to do is clamp the feed, and you'll be hurt.
Disgusted. Well, you know, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to get out there and do what I can, and I've been speaking out, but I'm going to fight this thing because I'm sick of it.
All right, well, we hope that you do well with your surgery, and when you get feeling better, Ray,
I'm
you give
I'm going to vote for you, Gary, if you run for...
He's running in the Republican primary, so he'll be a candidate there. Okay, anything else, Ray, before we let you go?
No, it's fine.
God bless. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Joe calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine.
That's good. I just want to make a comment relative to your guest. You know, you are exactly the type of person that we need in office. There's no doubt about it. People like yourself know all the details of what's going on. But I just want to say this, that, you know, if you don't tend to the issues, like Dr. Stan was saying, the big issues, if you don't speak the people's language, all of that expertise that you have will not be effective. You know what I mean? You won't be put in office because you have to speak the people's language. I look at it as when I go to college and you have one of these professors who was just a genius, but he wasn't a good teacher because he didn't speak our language. He was on a different plane. You know what I mean? That's all I have to say. Because I really would love to see somebody like you in office. But you have to speak their language, and I think that's what Dr. Stan was trying to do.
All right, fine. I appreciate you calling, Joe.
And we're gonna if I can comment on that.
Right.
I've been involved in politics for decades.
Hold that thought for just a moment there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have our guest is Gary Arnold, who's running for the Republican congressional seat here in this area. And then, of course, if he can win that, he'll go on to the election in November. Sydney, we had Joe calling from Michigan who said, you know, you've got a great deal of information, but you've got to address the issues that the people are concerned about. You've got to talk their language. And Joe wanted then, pardon me, Gary wanted to reply to Joe, who was saying, look, it doesn't matter. You have all this knowledge, but how are you going to get the people to vote for you? They're not interested in that. They're interested in bread and butter. He says, would that be pretty well what you're saying, Joe?
Yeah.
All right. Our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Gary, how would you respond to Joe?
Well, several ways. I think by not telling the people enough or considering they're not smart enough to get it is that they're not brought up to the challenge. And also, if I end up is winning a primary talking about the regular issues, they're not any smarter. I'm a little bit at risk because I do have knowledge, and I don't want to hold that back. I've won three contested primaries. I've unfortunately always lived in districts where 3 or 4 to 1 registration against. But I've won contested primaries for state assembly, for state senate, and for Congress. One race I ran in, we distributed 47,000 paperback books throughout the area, and we cut into the other side so much that we had the Canadian Granada TV come down, and we were, you know, interviewed. We were outspent almost 10-1. So far in this campaign, we've got a couple thousand DVDs out there that are working. Those are not regular typical brochures that end up in a trash can because you got a pretty picture of the family and you're talking, you know, just a couple talking points. A percent of those people will see it, they'll make copies, and they'll get them to their neighborhood. And it's not going to help only me, it's going to help every candidate running for governor or state senator or for assembly or anybody else that takes a constitutional position or warns people of the hierarchy and the architecture network that's working against us.
All right, fine. Thank you so much for calling, Joe. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Gary, would you like to put out information on your website or, and any other contact information you have? Or how can people help you financially if they're so disposed?
Yes. If they go to the website, it's arnoldistheanswer.com. It's arnoldistheanswer.com. And there's a big fat contribute button on each page up in the upper left-hand corner. But, again, there'll be all kinds of video clips and books and things that they can send and pass on to their friends and keep in their own reference library. They'll find it an incredible source. There's stuff there that is engaging in the political battles, such as fluoridation, locally the Marxist mayor in Watsonville. We've got it's just very, very rich. And under education, for instance, we've got not only the Stupid in America half-hour or 40-minute film by John Stossel showing that money has nothing to do with the quality of education. We got Ezerbet's book, which is a free download, and we've got a connection where they can go connect up with Robinson Home School, where they can train their kids from K through 12 and end up with a college-quality education for about less than $200.
Well, we carry that Robinson Homeschool unit, but I think it's excellent. I'm glad you're pushing that. Art Robinson, who put it together, is a personal friend. Incidentally, he's running for Congress this time. Anyway, go right ahead, Gary.
But anyway, it's not just, you know, attack. There are answers on this website, things people can do for themselves. Arguments that they can overcome the liberal and the socialist bias, I'm sure they'll find it useful.
All right, that is GaryIsTheAnswer.com. Is that right?
That's correct. And there's a big fat contribute button. And the other thing I have, if people spend more than $35, they get a choice of several books. And if it's over $50, they get a choice of either Sutton's book or the Bilderberger book. And if they donate over $100, they get The Creature from Jekyll Island together with another book of their choice. But we've got it's designed to step up the intelligence of the person and have them physically involved and mentally involved so that this thing, that all the efforts we make, is going to ratchet it up and stick. It won't be a campaign that's over with and people are left with bumper stickers and billboards and no gain.
All right, fine. Well, now I think that the things, from my point of view, that I think the people are important, concerned about, I think a lot of people are concerned about what's going on as far as the war. I think people are concerned about the economy and the fact that people are still losing their jobs and losing their homes. How would you approach that issue? Certainly, President Obama has come up with all sorts of programs to keep people in their homes, and none of them seem to have worked. President Obama, of course, has had a massive stimulus bill. The whole, I think, was almost $800 billion in the way of a stimulus. And certainly the Federal Reserve has put out, we don't know how many trillions of dollars they put out. Nobody can find out really what they're doing, but they've certainly they've poured a great deal of money into the banking system to re-liquefy it. It's done a little bit of good, but is this going to solve the problem? And if not, what are we going to do about jobs? What are we going to do about the fact that people are losing their homes? What are you going to say to the people out there who are really concerned about what sort of America we're going to have? And again, our number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Well, again, as one person, you've got the Federal Reserve that for all the money that they're printing, we certainly don't see it at the local level. You go to the banks, and it's as if they have dried it up for the local businessmen, for the people that want to get mortgages on their houses. The money is not there. And again, in my opinion, this is deliberate, and it needs the massive exposure. There are a half a dozen ways that people can cut back and work with themselves. There are some websites on how to be efficient and how to trade with your neighbor. I think all of those things need to be addressed because I believe this is a takedown. I think they're making more and more people dependent, and I believe that they intend to pull a string on it. I think we're going to be in here for hard times, and that people need to make their peace with God, their communications with their family, and to expect that this is a war for their survival and their freedom. And I think we do have a chance because we do have the truth, and that's why I think we need to be unhesitant in giving that information and truth to our neighbors and our friends. They might not see it at first. It might take them a couple of times, but as things are happening right now, the opposition, the other side, is certainly in view. They can't hide their intentions anymore. And there's wonderful broadcasters like you and Alex Jones and internet programs that are making a difference. And this is actually going worldwide. So we're really in a battle. And
But what if you were elected as the congressman? What would you do about jobs? What would you do about people losing their homes? How could you possibly remedy that?
Well, constitutionally, I don't know how. The contracts that the people have made with the banks stand. If the jobs aren't there, as I mentioned before, I believe that it would really reverse things by throwing a 5% or 10% tariff on products immediately across the board to help fund the government immediately.
Well, I think what you're really saying is that the 5% to 10% tariff would, of course, get our industry moving again. This is what we have to do. We have to have industry producing to get jobs. The problem that we face today is globalization. There is an organized effort to shift our manufacturing and our jobs and our wealth overseas. What we need to do is reverse that, to expose it, to actually get a tariff on, and encourage production here in the United States. You can't have jobs unless you got production. Would you agree with that? And so I think you're absolutely right, but you got to connect the dots for the average individual who doesn't understand the relationship between a return to a tariff system and, of course, the fact that, that we don't have jobs and we have ever more people losing their jobs. And all these people who talk about, oh, my goodness, how would you respond to the people who look and say, look, it was the Spoot-Hawley Act back there in 1930 that led to the Great Depression. They put tariffs back onto our products, and that led to the Great Depression. How would you respond to that?
Well, actually, it was the social programs, the same ones that Obama's putting in now, that created and prolonged the Depression. But that was networked, because if you can control the amount of money and supply, you know which way the stock market's going. You can be the cabal that's consolidating the industries, and the thing they hate the worst, from Taylor Caldwell to Susan Sontag on the left, she warned the people that this is an attack on the middle class by wealthy elites around the world, even though the elites look like they're in opposition. They did great articles and books. We'd end the subsidies for the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Those are funds that are drained from us to build a world army, the NATO, and it secured the European Union on that side of the pond, and what they're doing is the same thing over here with their push for a North American Union. It's enough of the framework and enough of the lumber and enough of the cement and rocks is all sitting around us. We can see what they're doing now. It's no longer theoretical whatsoever. We can prove exactly their intentions, and the people need to have that told to them. So that they can react to it.
And I think what people have to understand is what brought on the Great Depression. It was not the Smoot-Hawley Act that put the tariffs on. It was the fact that the central bank constricted the money supply, and there wasn't money out there to lend, because we deal with a credit money system. And when you contract the money supply, why, of course, you actually then there's contract business. And that's exactly what they did. And if you read certainly Milton Friedman's Capitalism and Freedom, he will tell you that every time that the economy began to right itself and begin to recover, why the central bank pulled more money out. Now, this is exactly what they're doing today. And if you're watching M2 and M3, you'll realize that they're constricting that. But the biggest thing is, that for the first time in all history, the Federal Reserve is paying the small banks not to lend money. Why would you pay the small banks not to lend money? They can actually deposit their money with the Federal Reserve System and get interest. This never happened before. Why? Because the Federal Reserve doesn't want the banks lending money, because if they were lending money, we would not have the credit restriction. The big banks are all in on this. Instead of lending the money to the corporations, why, of course, they're borrowing the money at 0.5% or 0% interest, and then they're buying bonds and they make money on the spread. But they have restricted the availability of money to lend to the major corporations. They're doing exactly today what they did back in the 1930s, and there's not one person in 10,000 in America who really understands what they're doing. So it wasn't the tariffs that caused the problem in 1930. It was the fact that they're carrying out exactly the same programs they're carrying out today. I agree with you, Gary. We need those tariffs. We need them desperately so that we can begin to get jobs created here in America.
Well, when you look back at 1929, it was Andrew Mellon and President Coolidge that said the economy was in great great shape, and it was Wright Patman that wanted to impeach the United States Treasurer Andrew Mellon. And of course, Wright Patman was the head of the House Banking Committee and opposed the Federal Reserve, and he was one chairman that the conspirators had to shut up. It was the first time in American history, or during the when seniority system was reversed, and they tried to kill him a couple of times. In addition to that, and the guy he was replaced with was Henry S. Roos, who belonged to the Phoenix Head Society, which was founded by Andrew Dixon White, who was a member of Skull and Bones. He was the head of Cornell University, Anyway, the Mellon fortune today is basically funding the Wright Hegelians in the United States, and it's very fascinating. The Richard Scaife monies go to a number of, like the Landmark Legal Foundation and some of these other groups, and Scaife went to the 10 Schools Organization, which is a 10 schools in the in England, New England area, and it's an incubator, basically, for the people, the conspirators for the world government.
And, of course, he's part of the Mellon family, and what they do is they control both the right and the left. That's how the system really works. And there is not a dime's worth of difference between the conservatives and the liberals, the right and the left, the Republicans and the Democrats. Let's go to Rob in San Diego. Hi, Rob. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have a comment, and then I would like to hear Gary's and your comments on my comment. Anyway, my comment is that essentially the United States is under punishment for, like George Mason said, you know, nations cannot be punished in the other world. They have to be punished in this one. And as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we'll turn from our wicked ways and pray, he will heal our land. So I believe that the key is taking action to get back on his side. And the key action, I believe, to begin with would be not only prayer, but to stop the slaughter of the unborn.
But you see, that is not in any way going to influence the economics. Certainly, I think that you cannot have one or the other. I think we need prayer, and I think we need to return to God. But if we look at what's going on economically, how, I mean, you could stop the stop the murder of the unborn. What would that do for the jobs? What would that do for the other things which are intentionally being created by the people on the other side? Do you really think that if we stopped abortion tomorrow, that there'd be jobs? Do you really think if you stopped abortion, people would continue losing their homes? Do you think if we stopped abortion, we would head off the war over in Iran?
Yes.
No, there are wicked and evil people out there, and they will continue doing what they're doing it to us until the people of this country are concerned and return to the Lord, but they're not going to do that. And I admire you for certainly believing in prayer, and I believe in it as well. But I think we have to be involved. What are you personally doing to influence the political process, Rob?
Praying and voting.
Okay, fine. And who are you voting for? Who are you going to vote for the Congress, part of your governor in California?
I haven't decided yet.
Well, but you don't have a choice. See, that's the problem. You don't have a choice between Whitman and Posner. They're both equally bad. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Okay, fine. Well, Gary, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay.
But how would you...
Posner had donated money to the Gore campaign, and Meg Whitman had donated money to Boxer, Republicans. I don't know where they get these candidates. I agree with them one thing. The abortion, it's not just the unborn baby, but they have a plan against humanity as a whole to reduce the world population. So and you've had program after program under that. Let me get my website out at least first so that people can go take a look at it. And there's an article called The Controlled Right on there, which will go into the Mellon money and some of the details. The website is arnoldistheanswer.com. And I'll repeat that again because you always say to repeat it. It's arnoldistheanswer.com. And enjoy yourself with the ton of information in there that should keep you well armed with data. And I encourage you mostly to keep programs like Stands On. No matter how little you can do, if you can make it regular, will make all the difference in the world. Times are hard and times are going to get hot. But if you've got some money back there in your 401k and you don't need it for your family and you don't think you necessarily need it, I encourage you to really look at it and use that. Use your resources to defend your freedom and get the information out. And God bless you, Stan, for the hard work. I don't know how you keep it up day after day, but we're truly blessed to have you. And you've been so generous with your guest across across the years. And I really thank you.
Well, we've been at this a long time, Gary. I can remember probably meeting you 40, 45 years ago, something like that. You've been at it for a long time, just like I have.
Right. And go to Dr. Monti's site, and he's got a wealth of books and DVDs. Purchase those. Get those out. Get those working. People are waking up, mostly because they have to. And let's put our shoulders to this fight and... we can come out winners. A bit of truth can overcome decades of lies. So, again, I encourage you to keep up your spirits and, as the last man said, and incorporate God in this resolve to win. And let's put the pressure on the other side. Let's give them the headaches and the ulcers.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so very much your being with us this evening, Gary. We'll look forward to having you on our program in the afternoon. I'll ask you all those same tough questions again. I want you to have answers that the people can really understand and identify with. God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, because our guest has been Gary Arnold, and we've been talking about his candidacy, and although I acknowledge that this is a local issue, I wanted Cindy to hear what he has to say. He's got a great deal of knowledge about the big picture. But what people are interested in is jobs, homes, the war, education, only a few things that they really understand. Down the line, perhaps they'll understand the spiritual aspect of the battle. And certainly, I believe there is a spiritual aspect of the battle, and I believe we should be involved in prayer. But we have a lot of people that all they do is pray, but they really don't do anything because to get the word out, because I will tell you that we have become a secular nation. They have taken God and prayer out of our schools, and the latest polls, you know, of the young Christian people, you know, probably 17, 21, 22, show 70 over, I think, something like 70% of the Christians don't even really believe in Christianity. They come from Christian schools. We've allowed that to be destroyed because the good people were praying, but they were not involved in the process. Nobody has ever told the Christians that the reason they took God and prayer out of our schools was because the Masons controlled our Supreme Court. And the Masonic influence is still there. But, of course, we have now the Skull and Road, which is also very closely tied into Masonry. We have the Bohemian Grove. We have the Bilderbergers. We have all sorts of occult organizations out there. We have to let people know what's going on if we're ever going to get them to feel that they need a personal relationship with our Lord. Only when somebody's life or family are threatened do they begin looking for a solution. Without that, they don't even know they need a solution. They don't know there's a problem, which is why I do what I do. And I don't mean in any way to belittle the importance of prayer. I think we should all be praying and looking to God. But I think we have to be involved. The idea that all I have to do is go to the polls and vote in November is totally fallacious, because you do not vote for your choice. You vote for their choice. We do have truly satanic forces working within our society, intent upon using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. We have a world empire today. We have our troops stationed, according to Pat Buchanan, 140 nations. According to Pat Ron Paul, 135 nations. It really doesn't matter what we have our troops stationed all over the world for, because we have an empire, and the average individual doesn't know. And this, of course, is in total violation of our constitutional concepts. But there is a plan to use America to bring about this one world government. It is a satanic plan that goes back literally thousands of years. They've always looked to this new nation that was to be formed. It was to be the new Atlantis, to replace the old Atlantis that was so evil that God destroyed it. People need to understand the history of what's going on. They need to understand the Gnostic religion, which is the religious belief of all these people involved in the occult. There really is a paranormal out there. There really are supernatural forces at work. We cannot oppose them, certainly with our own strength. We're going to have to rely on the Lord for that. But if we're ever going to be effective, we're going to have to get other people to understand what's going on and then recruited into this truly epic struggle that is taking place today. A battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you're in a position to help Radio Liberty maintain our network of stations. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can go there. We do have a PayPal button on our webpage, but there are all sorts of wonderful things there that you can learn from. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our programs to try to familiarize themselves with the true nature of our enemy. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.